Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds on the Holistic Survival Show. And by the way, be sure to visit our website at holisticsurvival.com. You can subscribe to our blog, which is totally free, has loads of great information, and there's just a lot of good content for you on the site. So make sure you take advantage of that at holisticsurvival.com. We'll be right back.
Want to know what you've missed in the Creating Wealth series? Well, here's your opportunity with Jason's five-book set. That's shows 1 through 100 through digital download. You save $288 by getting this five-book set. Learn all of the advanced strategies for wealth creation. For more details, go to jasonhartman.com.
It's my pleasure to welcome Ben Kinchlow to the show. He's the former co-host of CBN's The 700 Club television program. I'm sure you've heard of that. It's been around a very, very long time. And he's got a new book coming out called Black Yellow Dogs, The Most Dangerous Citizen is Not Armed But Informed. Ben, welcome. How are you?
Thank you very much there, Jason. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on your program today.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. I always like to give our listeners a sense of geography. Where are you located today?
I am located in Virginia, right about 4.5 hours from Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh. Fantastic. You know, I thought I'd ask you just a little bit about your background. You've authored two books. You've got a new one coming out. Tell us a little bit about your background, if you would.
Well, I grew up in Texas, and I grew up in the time when America was in the grip of rigid institutionalized racism and legalized segregation. I went to a segregated high school, joined the United States Air Force, and got a chance to travel around, see much of the world, and came back to the United States. I was a member of the so-called Black Liberation Front and was right into that very seriously. Then I had a dramatic encounter while in college with the Lord Jesus Christ, who changed my life, showed me what the real truth was, and shortly thereafter, from a drug and alcohol rehabilitation forum, I went to work for the Christian Broadcasting Network, where I was there for some 20 years.
Fantastic. So what was that called, the Black Liberation Front? Was that the name of it?
It was called the Black Liberation Front. That's what we called it. It wasn't a specific organization. It was just a bunch of guys who were determined to see that we got what we considered our legitimate rights at that time. We were going to go about it in ways that included the Black Muslims, the Black Panthers, and various other not-so-nonviolent things. We were not real fans of Dr. Martin Luther King because we didn't have that turn-the-other-cheek philosophy working for us.
So did anything in particular happen when you were involved with those groups that you want to tell us about?
I have to ask. I'd rather not.
Okay, all right.
Let us just say that it wasn't the way Dr. King did things. And so I probably owe some people some apologies for some of the things I did and said back in the day.
All right, no problem. Well, we'll take the fifth on that and move on because that was a long, long time ago. So what do you think about the current state of the United States? I mean, we've got all sorts of invasions of our freedoms. The government is overreaching like crazy. Obama's stated intent is to redistribute wealth. What do you think about what's going on?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that has happened is the founding fathers had in mind a society where the individuals would be part and parcel of their own destinies. In other words, they were not designing a government over the people. They were designing a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, as Abraham Lincoln said. The problem is we have gotten to the point where we have become so comfortable in America because of the incredible blessing it is to live in our country that we just kind of turned over to professional politicians the direction that our country is now in. We just kind of gave the management of our country over to these politicians, and we just kind of dropped out and let them run the country. And as a result, people who have different ideas of how America should function have now gotten to the position where they are making direction for our country.
You know, we talk a lot about the state of affairs on the show, and the question always comes, Ben, and, you know, maybe this is better as a conclusion question, but I want to make sure we cover it. What can people do? What can U.S. citizens do to, in quotes, rise up against this socialist tendency and all of the other things that are going on?
Well, see, the one thing that we have in this country that I think we have forgotten that they do not have in most of the other countries, particularly in the Middle East and in Africa, Central South America, where you always hear about these revolutions where military coups take place and people are rioting in the streets like they're doing in Egypt right now. But what we forget is that the founding fathers put into the hands of the citizenry the most powerful weapon that can be utilized peacefully in a society, and that is the vote. I mean, you pick people, and you know, if you, and Jason, if you go back and look at it, the way the founding fathers set this up was they had the House of Representatives, and we need to understand what that means. It means representatives, people who were sent there to represent the people. And then you have a Senate, and then you have the president. Now, they have what I call the 2-4-6 rule. Every 2 years, the House of Representatives have to come back home and ask for permission from their people, the people that they are representing, to go back and continue to represent them. If they are not doing what the people think they ought to do, then they are removed from office, and new people sent in who will most closely reflect the desires of the people. Then you have the Senate, who is there to try to put stabilization into the government. They're there every 6 years, and they are to join with the representatives to pass laws and to do those things that are in the best interest of the people. And again, they have to come home every 6 years and ask for permission to go back and continue to serve, i.e. they're called public servants. And the president, who was supposed to be the spokesperson for the American citizenry, is there for 4 years, and then he has to be out and back, and we may give him another chance to do 4 more years. But this stuff where we now have senators and congressmen serving for 20, 30 years is absolutely ridiculous. And those people have completely forgotten why they are there, and the fault lies with the American people.
Yeah, the concept of our government originally was that it was just supposed to be a part-time thing, something you did for a short time, and then you went back to your business. But these career politicians, I mean, all they're looking to do is gain more power, and they're engaged in all sorts of corrupt activities, whether they be, you know, actually technically illegally corrupt or just morally or ethically corrupt. You know,
exactly.
It's
right.
It's unbelievable.
Now, a good example of that is what we're having right now, Jason, with this Obamacare. They specifically exempted themselves from being subjected to this, quote, plan that's good for all American people. If it's good enough for the American people, then why is Congress, the senators, and the president specifically exempted from having to do what we have to do to get our health care?
Well, it's such an obvious, simple question that, of course, it makes complete sense. But, of course, they exempted themselves. They always do that. They're exempt from all sorts of things. This is the elite class taking advantage of the rest of us. And you look at the window dressing on the Obama campaign, it was all about equality and make government transparent. And none of this has happened. I mean, this has got to be the most secretive regime we've had running this country in decades.
Well, there's another reason for that too, Jason. One of the reasons for that is, if you remember in the First Amendment, one of the things that Congress did, the founding fathers did, was they established a free press. The press was not to be muzzled. And the reason they established this free press was so that the press could keep an eye on the people who were running things, so that the people would know the right of the free press should not be abridged. In other words, they were to find out what's going on and tell us, so we could keep an eye on the people that we elected to represent us. And when they got out of line, the newspapers were there and the media was there to say, hey, these guys are not doing what they're supposed to do. Here's what they're doing wrong. And we say, okay, now that we see that, let's vote those rascals out and bring them back home.
Yeah, unfortunately, but the media has become a lapdog. I mean, it's all corporatized. It's all backdoor deals with the administration. It's ridiculous.
Yes, it is. And, you know, we can trace that back to a very specific time in our history, not too long ago. You remember back in the 60s when they had the free love and all this leftist movement and all
sure.
these guys? Okay. What happened was, at the end of that movement, the conservatives went into business and made this one of the most powerful economies, if not the most powerful economy in the world. They became successful business people, and they started businesses, ran businesses, owned businesses, and that's what they did. The leftists, liberals, the free lovers, and the people who did not like America, those people went into two primary areas. They went into education, and they went into the media. This is why we have leftist-leaning professors and teachers indoctrinating our children away from the American way of life, and this is why you have the media that is essentially the lapdog of the left. And if you notice, they almost never criticize the left. The criticism is always directed to those people who would be considered the conservative or the, quote, right-wing nuts, as they like to call them.
Yeah, it's just a crazy situation we're in. Well, your book alludes to that the most dangerous man is the informed man and not the armed man. Tell us about that and how people can act on that concept.
Well, the phrase is, the most dangerous citizen is not armed, but uninformed.
Oh, right, okay.
You see, the problem we have is that people don't know, because the media, which was founded by the founding fathers, given liberty, is to be, the public can be informed of what is going on. And the problem with is, when they are not aware of what's going on, then they make actions or take actions that are inimical to their own best interest. This is why an uninformed citizen is dangerous, but the informed citizen is the one who makes the decisions that will lead us to where we really want to be. This is why the founding fathers were determined to have an informed electorate. This is why they set it up the way they set it up. Government of the people, for the people, by the people, so that the people would be the ones who had the ultimate responsibility for making the decisions that had to do with their own well-being. Remember, Jason, the reason the United States was formed was to get us out of the situation where we had those people who were running things telling us what to do. This is why they did that.
So, Ben, it feels like the country is more divided than ever. And you see in our media the constant race baiting. You looked at it with the recent Zimmerman trial, George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. You know, Obama, when he first came into office, I remember there was something, I believe it was in the Boston area, where, you know, a cop assumed that the professor didn't live in the house or something like that. And Obama spoke right out instantly before even knowing what the case was about and had egg on his face. This is just a constant thing. You look at people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton Sharpton, and they're constantly like divide. Jesse Jackson's son, by the way, and his daughter-in-law were just sent to prison. I guess they're going to be doing some time for spending about $750,000 in campaign money on their own lifestyle, which is ridiculous. But, you know, what do you make of this? I mean, is that only a perception that the United States seems so divided, that this class envy and race baiting, is this always been going on, or is it worse than ever now?
Well, this is a relatively new thing that has sprung up, and it has its genesis in the fact that there are people, now I know some people find this hard to believe, but there are a group of people in this, there are groups of people in this country who hate America. They do not like what America stands for. They have an idea that America should be a socialistic type country where individuals lose their identity and become a part of the, quote, great society. They do not see America the way the founding fathers saw it, a country that was designed to live by principles, established based on Judeo-Christian biblical principles. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In other words, we founded, the United States was founded to release us from the dictates of somebody who was trying to tell us how to live our lives, the King of England and his minions. So the American people were a group of people, the only people at that time who were given the absolute liberty to determine their own destiny. That is how America's supposed to be. Now, you have this group of people who do not like the idea of the people being in charge. They think the government should be in charge, telling the people what to do. And they know that the way to destroy a country is to utilize what Abraham Lincoln said, a nation divided against itself cannot stand. So what, when you use the word divide, make no mistake about it, this is deliberate, and their ultimate goal is to have all of these people fighting one group against the other group so that a small cadre in Washington, D.C., can take over and start to impose their vision of what America should be like on a bunch of divided citizens in America.
Yeah, the last thing the elites want is to have the people united. They want to divide people up. They want to split them up. They want them to fight amongst each other so they can go and implement their plans without much objection. That technique's been used throughout history, hasn't it?
Sure it has, and it's being used today. This is why all of a sudden we have these hyphenated Americans. You know, we're not Americans anymore. We're now hyphenated Americans. We have African Americans, Native Americans, Chinese Americans, Mexican Americans. What do you call white Americans now?
I don't know. Yeah,
probably. Racist, probably
the most discriminated group in real life. This group is discriminated against the most, white males.
So you see what? So what we now have is we have all of these people at each other's throats. So now the Native Americans are up in arms about their rights being denied. The Mexican Americans are now saying, hey, our rights are being denied. African Americans are marching in the streets saying, our rights have been denied. And everybody now is at each other's throats. And of course, before long, white Americans are going to have to say, well, wait a minute. We can't put up with this very long, so we're going to have to form our own groups. And so now they're going to start saying, okay, it's us against them. This is the ultimate goal of these people who want to destroy America and take away our liberties and put it in the hands of a centralized government. That's exactly what they're doing, and I have to congratulate them. They are being inordinately successful in their strategy.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that they are. Tell me what else you cover in the book, if you would.
Well, my book is the one that's coming out now is a book called Black Yellow Dogs. The origin of that phrase, yellow dogs, is back during the days when Al Smith, a Catholic, was running for president. The Democrats in the Deep South decided, hey, we're going to vote for him. Now, one of the guys who was voting against Smith's opponents said, you know, how can you vote for a Yankee and a Catholic to boot? And they said, let me just tell you, I would vote for a yellow dog if it ran on the Democrat ticket. And this, unfortunately, is what has happened in the African-American community in particular. They vote Democrat despite the fact that they are in, believe it or not, they are diametrically opposed to the Democrats in some very key moral issues, and yet when the time comes to vote, they all vote Democrat. Now, that is why I say the most dangerous citizen is not armed, but uninformed. They really don't know what the Democrats stand for, and so they end up voting for them, despite the fact that they don't agree with them in some moral issues.
And it seems like the Democrats are just exploiting some of these groups that they pretend to represent. It's unbelievable. You just got to wonder how people can be conned so easily. I mean, these black leaders like Sharpton and Jackson, they're not representing a constituency. They're just profiting from this whole thing, being sensationalistic. And then the Democrat Party in general, I mean, they're not helping the people they say they're helping. They're making them weaker. They're making them bitter. They're making them poorer. It's unbelievable. I mean, you take inflation. If you look at just spending, and you look at the way, I mean, the right does it too. I can't say much good about the right side of the aisle either, okay, nowadays, because, you know, a lot of them are rhino Republicans, et cetera, Republicans in name only. But when you look at the left is known for overspending more so than the right. Okay, I think that'd be a fair statement. They both overspend, in my opinion. But that overspending causes inflation, and it causes higher taxes. And what those two things do for sure is they hurt poor people the most, not directly, but indirectly. Because wealthy people, they profit from inflation. They know how to invest. They know how to accumulate debt against high-quality real estate properties and have inflation pay that debt off essentially for them by debasing the debt and causing the asset value underlying the debt to appreciate. Wealthy people profit. They know how to profit from inflation. Poor people are hurt by it. The price of gasoline goes up. They usually don't live in the areas in which they work. Most of them are commuters, if they're working at all. And so they've got to pay for all that gasoline to commute to their job. It's just unbelievable. They just have no idea. You know, the problem is the devaluation of the currency over and over and over again. It's just making the poor and the lower middle class poorer and poorer and poorer. And that's what the left is doing.
Well, I think what people need to understand is that when you start, you talk about this, but this is not the key issue for them. They're not interested in that excellent explanation you just gave about how the currency and inflation and devaluation of the dollar. What they're doing with spending, and the reason that they are spending like they're doing, is because they are, in effect, buying people's loyalty.
Oh, of course.
And that is why they have... the White House is actually conducting a drive to increase the number of people on food stamps. Now, why would the United States government be increasing their payouts to people?
Because they can buy votes. I mean,
exactly.
They're just pandering. It's disgusting.
Everybody knows that it's the Democrats who want to give you more freebies, while the Republicans want to take it away and put you to work. And so people are growing up nowadays. You have children having children, and the illegitimate birth rate in the African-American community is skyrocketing somewhere in the 70% range. And people are saying, well, you know, wait a minute. If I vote Republican, they're going to take away my food stamps, my medical care, my yada, yada, yada. And so why should I vote for them? And so this is why. And now the Hispanics, illegal aliens who are coming here, are now also being made eligible for these benefits. So this is what the leftists are doing, because they know they can formulate this division between the, quote, have and the, quote, have-nots, which is exactly what they are about doing.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy. Let me give you one example just quickly on that currency issue. In 1964, the minimum wage in the country was 5 quarters per hour, okay? $1.25. But it was, the quarters were silver. And so if you melt those 5 quarters today, they're worth $26.21 in melt value. You know, of course, that fluctuates every day, but approximately $26. But minimum wage is not $26 per hour. So you see how this is this progressive impoverishment of the lower classes. And then, of course, the government that creates the problem in the first place comes in with the, quote, solution, unquote, to the problem, like food stamps, like you mentioned. And it just makes people more dependent, and it makes them poorer, and it makes them need to keep voting. It's a way to build in a voting block forever. We don't need to fix the minimum wage. We need to fix the money. The money is the problem. The devaluation of the currency through spending. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, you can. It doesn't matter whether you devaluate the currency or do anything else with the currency. Money has to be earned. It has to be earned by producing something that society can use. This is what made America the greatest country on the face of the earth. Individuals working for their own benefit and producing products that other people could buy. And as a result, we became a economic powerhouse. Now what is happening is we don't have the workforce working anymore for themselves. Now we're talking about the division between the rich and the poor, the have and the have-nots in America. And the have-nots are increasing exponentially because the government, going into enormous debt, is subsidizing the growth of the so-called have-nots.
You know what I always found funny, Ben, is the fact that liberals own the concept of compassion in most people's minds. You know, it's just unbelievable. And the question I would ask is, how compassionate is it for this generation to be greedy, to get all this free stuff they want from the government, whether it be free healthcare, food stamps, whatever government benefit, and basically what they're doing is they're robbing it from their children and their grandchildren. I mean, that's not compassionate to make future generations poorer. If you saw a parent doing that, being selfish with their children so they could go live the high life, you would call that parent selfish. But the fact, generationally, that's exactly what we're doing. We're stealing from future generations by spending.
Precisely. But the people who are doing that have no concern for the future generations. What they want to do is they want to transform America from the land of the free and the home of the brave. They want to translate it into a country where a few people at the top are ruling, and in their vision, they have this so-called equality that exists between all people. No more rich people in America, no more poor people in America. Everybody in America is now equal, and everybody is living at exactly the same level.
And you know, that's been tried so many times throughout history, and it always ends in massive oppression, killing. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's like, why do we keep trying the same thing that has been proven throughout history and throughout every geography on the planet not to work?
Because every generation that comes along with this, quote, new idea thinks, okay, we saw what they did wrong. We're not going to do that wrong here in America. We're going to do that right this time. So that's why we're going to have a better society for all people than those people had in the past. But it just, pardon my French, ain't going to work.
Yeah, it ain't going to work. It never has. Well, Ben, give out your website, if you would, and tell people where they can learn more about you and follow your work.
Go to Ben Kinchlow. That's BenKinchlow.com, and you can find out about where we're going. My new book, Black Yellow Dogs, is going to come out in September the 10th. It'll be published, and you can find out where to buy it, and you can find out all about the other things we talk about, including You Don't Have to, You Don't Want to, and my autobiography, Plain Bread. So you can get all those on my website, benkenslow.com.
Fantastic. Well, Ben, thanks so much for joining us today, and keep getting the word out and helping people be informed about this stuff. Very important.
Well, Jason, you keep doing that, man, and thank you for having me on your program to be a part of what you're doing. Great job. Keep it up.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.